After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Pitch. Swing and a long drive, deep left, way back, gone!
Hello and welcome to another Baseball America podcast. By now, if you know the drill, it's Tuesday, so it's our Hot Sheet podcast with Jeff in Massachusetts and Josh in North Carolina. That's the parrot and the bear for another episode of Hot Sheet podcast as the season winds down. Jeff, how are you doing?
Not too bad, man. Not too bad. Had a week off from the park, you know, no Cape Cod League anymore. And the only teams that were around were New Hampshire playing Hartford in Hartford. And why would I drive to Hartford to see New Hampshire, who I see in New Hampshire? And I've seen Hartford plenty. So did not make the drive this week, but that means that I missed one of our Hot Sheet guys, unfortunately. Actually, a couple of them. But I do have Binghamton and the Rumble Ponies are going to be live and direct in New Hampshire this week. So they're going to miss Tidwell this evening. We're going to be there tomorrow on Wednesday to see Tyler Stewart and should get a couple more of those pitchers and all those new trade acquisitions as well. So it's going to be exciting.
Is it me? I know your room is pretty dark right there. Do you have your back to the camera?
No, I'm in my bedroom and like, I just have all the lights off in the house because I'm running the air conditioning. I am one of these people where I want to maximize cool during the hot part of the day by not having any windows
open. I could have sworn you were doing this with your back to me, and I was very confused.
No.
Last week, who did I see? Boy, I went to Winston-Salem for one game to see Luis Perales and Kyle Teal and Roman Anthony and Cutter Coffey, and Anthony Coffey and Teal didn't play. So I got innings of Luis Perales. Saw a couple games of Greensboro for Tremar Johnson. I was there when he got hit in the hand with a pitch. Frankly, I thought his season was over at that point with how bad it looked, but he was back a couple days later and hit a grand slam. Saw Bubba Chandler during that, and I saw Yoniel Curet. This week, I might have a week off from the parks. I also saw AJ Smith-Shawver with the Braves when they were in Durham.
Stacked week for you, man.
Yeah, it's weird that I don't even remember any of it. It seems like that was 40 years ago at this point. I'm at the point where I've taken certain credentials off my lanyard and thrown them in the memories box because I'm done with certain parks for the year. This week, Columbia is in Zebulon and Fayetteville is in Down East, and I think that's it. But this week is going to be a heavy writing editing week for the mag because it goes next week and I leave for quasi Oregon vacation a week from today. So I'll be seeing a little bit of Eugene and a little bit of Hillsboro a couple of weeks. But let's talk about Hot Sheet. It's led this week by Lazaro Montez, a really, really powerful Mariners prospect who is a big boy with a big bat who hits balls really far. I'm working on the ACL top 20. He's going to be in there somewhere. I'm not even withholding information. I couldn't tell you where at this point, but he's going to be in there. And he did what he does this week. He hit balls very, very far. His exit velocities are insane. And I've pretty much described him to you in a nutshell. Big boy, big power. Big exit velos, might not play right field, probably a first baseman DH down the line.
Okay.
But further down the list, Jeff, there's a guy you have in one of your systems. I don't think you've seen him yet. And I didn't either because I went to Eugene to see a stacked Spokane team. But that was the day that Sterling Thompson went on the IL. So I missed him the three or four games I saw Spokane. But you've talked to people, Jeff. What do you like about Sterling Thompson?
Yeah, and I tend to watch a lot of Northwest League games when I get back to the house after the park, or as sort of my late night game once the kids are finally in bed, if I can sneak one. So I've seen a fair amount of Spokane throughout the season. I've seen Thompson, obviously remember him from college as well. Played at a big program in Florida, was on TV consistently. So he was a guy that we definitely had some access to in terms of watching as an amateur. I think the things that I love most about Thompson is just it's the plate skills. The bat-to-ball ability is well above average to maybe plus-plus. It's somewhere in that range. You want to call it like a hard plus, fine. I don't want to go too crazy because, obviously we've only seen a few weeks in the upper levels now, so it's a limited track record. But do you think that those skills are legitimate? I mean, as of a couple of weeks ago, in terms of his numbers, it was, in zone swing and miss rate was like 11-12%. so that kind of gives you an idea of what the contact rate is. Not an aggressive swinger, but not overly passive as well. So I think it's a real nice balance of like approach and contact. The angles aren't bad. He doesn't hit the ball that hard though. Pretty low. It's like an 85 mile per hour average exit velocity. So that's a little concerning. Want to see how it plays up, but he does have a really high level hit tool. Gets a fair amount of barrels for how low his exit velocities are. Really high sweet spot number, which is just, in terms of getting it on that special sort of angle and part of the bat. And he's performed all year long. A guy that doesn't K a whole lot. Doesn't walk a ton, but kind of walks enough, like at an average rate, that with his bat to ball skills, it's a really nice combination. So I'd say you can just overall plate skills is my thing with Sterling Thompson, which is a skill set that will play up in Coors if he ends up there at some point in the next couple of years. But he's been promoted pretty aggressively and it is a high level hit tool. It's just a matter of where does he fit defensively. Maybe not a third baseman long term, and they have some better defensive third basemen and shortstops in that organization that are sort of on a similar timeline as him. He may end up in left field, but the bat plays anywhere. I think it's just a matter of can you add a little more power.
I think it'd be interesting to see him face one of the other guys on our list. That would be Jacob Mizorowski, who had a career day. In his most recent start for AA Biloxi, when he went six innings and struck out 12, I think he had one hit and three walks or something. But, he started the year slowly, not in terms of stuff, but in terms of workload. They built him up very slowly. I think his first outing was one inning, which if you're not Zebulon and you can't see the guy pre-warming up, you think, oh, goodness gracious, has he lasted one inning and gotten hurt? But it was a slow burn buildup, and now he's up to six innings in that particular outing. I mean, if you saw the Futures game, you saw him. His stuff is deadly. Big fastball, big breaking ball, pretty decent curveball as well. Changeup in there too. When everything's working, good luck. And I think it was Mississippi that found out that way. If everything is working, and it was, they didn't really have a prayer. I still think it'd be very interesting to see if the Brewers make the playoffs. And I fully cop to not knowing where the Brewers are in the race right now. If he's maybe an option for the bullpen in October, because his stuff is just wicked. And I think it could get outs in the big leagues if he commands it. That's really the long and short of Jacob Mizorowski. He's a bad man when he's got everything working. Jeff, your next guy on your list is Graham Pauly, if I remember correctly, who just, I believe, got bumped to double A.
San Antonio. He's headed to San Antonio. Yeah.
along with a lot of other guys. A lot of big moving day in the Padres system.
Huge moving day in the Padres system, actually. How many guys got moved?
A lot.
In that one. Was it like 7 or 8?
A lot. I'll just go with that. A lot.
It was because it was Martorella, Pauly, Salas, and Marcy.
Snelling.
Lesko moved up as well. Lesko and Zavala moved up to high A, but I was saying,
well, yeah, I'm just talking about
five players just from Fort Wayne that moved up, right?
Yeah, it's a very, very interesting one.
Yeah, and as for Pauly, he's one of these guys, and I'm sure he's going to be somebody that I write about quite a bit this offseason. Kind of falls into that sort of data darling category of he shows high on Dylan's RoboScout. When you look at sort of underlying skills, you know, he's got really good underlying numbers. The launch angles aren't bad. Really good plate skills. His power numbers aren't all that crazy either. He's kind of similar to just Sterling Thompson, to be frank. Another guy with a really low end zone whiff rate. It's another one that's below 12%. He's above 82% ish in terms of where he's at for overall contact rate. Chases at a pretty low rate. So plate skills wise, he's sort of picturesque, really refined. And I mean, it's not a shock when you talk about a guy who spent, I believe, 4 seasons at Duke. He is an older player, was a 13th round pick back in 2022. And he's hit in, as an older player in lower levels. So there's still some question marks there as a 22-year-old in A-ball. Spent 62 games with low A. Lake Elsinore hit 309, 422, 465. Got the bump up a couple months back. Spent 45 games at Fort Wayne, as we discussed. Hit 300, 358, 629. He'll play his first double-A game this evening. But had a 144 WRC plus in low A and a 169 WRC plus in high A. So overall, it's really good numbers. There's great plate skills there. I don't think there's a ton of power. But maybe this is he's not Owen Miller, but maybe like that style of player where it's sort of like this maybe second division regular, like up and down bench guy. Like there's somewhere in that mix of roles that he could potentially fit in range of outcomes. I do think he's a good enough hitter. He's going to hit his way into the major leagues. It's just, it may not be for any substantial amount of time or major role. But I think when you're talking about a 13th round pick and a guy who spent 4 years at school, and I think was considered kind of a fringy pro when he was drafted, I think this is a really good outcome. And Pauly has certainly exceeded my expectations of the guy that I saw for a couple summers in the Cape.
When you said he went to Duke, I'll be honest, I have no recollection of him at Duke, which scares me.
I'm like, did I make a boo-boo? I was almost positive.
No, I'm saying if I never saw him, and I live in North Carolina. I live 15 minutes from Duke, and I don't remember that name ever.
I remember because he played for Kituit, and then they dropped him pre-draft, and I think he ended up with Harwich for a few games. But yeah, and I'm wrong.
You can make up anything. I wouldn't know.
And I'm actually incorrect. It looks like he spent 2 seasons at Duke. It's 2021 and 2022. And I guess I only remember him playing in the Cape once. So there you go. So my recollection was a little off. It wasn't 4 years at Duke, but still. there you go.
The one thing I recollect that we need to do is take an ad break right now. So we will do that right now.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. That's why I use Indeed for our hiring at Baseball America. It allows me to do everything on one website, I get quality candidates. I can schedule them. I can interview them. I can screen them. I can send messages to them, all within Indeed. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we are back. The last player we're going to discuss on the hot sheet is Yankees outfielder Jason Dominguez, who I believe it's reported out there that he just got the bump to AAA Scranton as the Yankees make some moves in their system with, I believe, Everson Pereira is coming up and Oswald Peraza is coming up, or Oswald, if you say his name correctly, is coming up. So he makes the corresponding move and goes to AAA, the precipice of the big leagues. And then, you know, he had a huge week this week as Somerset faced Reading. You know, as I wrote in the capsule for his hot sheet thing, you know, we've done these in-season updates and 30 updates for the top 100 and all these things. And every time we talk to people in the industry and we get feedback, it's always, yeah, the baseball card numbers aren't great right now, but don't let that dissuade you too much. You know, he's still a very, very good prospect. Even, you know, there's a lot of expected stats that aren't, you know, obviously translating for one reason or another. There are certainly, it's certainly not perfect right now, but it started to show his real skills. You have to remember, he's 20 years old. In Double A, he was one of the youngest players in the league this year, and you know sometimes it takes him a little longer, relatively speaking. You know they can't all start, you know, molten and continue that way, especially if you're in the Northeast where sometimes it's pretty cold. Although this year, if I remember correctly, it was kind of mild to start in parts of the country. Point is, Dominguez has had a bit of a bust out this month. He's had the best month of his upper level career. And you know, this week in Reading, I think he hit 4 home runs or something. The whole Somerset team, I think, went off against the Fightin' Phils at one of my favorite parks in the country. Dominguez is starting to show signs of the potential that the Yankees and everyone had hoped for him since the day he signed. Jeff, I think you've seen him this year. I haven't seen him since the Fall League last year. What have you thought of old Jason Dominguez, old 20-year-old Jason Dominguez?
Yeah, and I've seen him at 2 different points throughout the season. I saw him for 4 games in May, mid-May, and that was when he was sort of cold at that point in the year. And since, I think, like July 1st has really just been on fire. And I had the opportunity to see him sort of at the start of that run. And I just felt like the quality of the at-bats had taken a major step forward. And it was good anyway, but I felt like he had started to find a balance of a discerning plate approach and aggressiveness that lended itself to a lot more hard contact. Just less passive at bats. I felt early he was kind of passive. It wasn't as cold as it was rainy this summer and this spring. And I just felt like he was often sort of feeling himself out against older competition. Very much felt like that. The last time I saw him for a couple of games, just like I said, like there were strikes and pitches in the outer half that he maybe would fight off or even attack that he wouldn't have previously. There is a lot of power here from both sides of the plate. There's good approach. He doesn't swing and miss all that much. You know, it's pretty good contact skills. Really like good underlying tools, I think, at the plate. And, you know, he can run a little bit. I don't know. He's not a double plus runner or anything crazy like that, or he's not going to be that long term. And he's a fine center fielder that probably ends up in right field long term. But overall, I think it is a player that's starting to come into his own. And I think when you consider his age and normal expectations for a 20-year-old switch hitter who spends the entire season in Double A and now above, he's really exceeded those expectations for a normal player. It's just we had such crazy comps and all that sort of stuff, and you almost kind of feel bad for the guy. And you know, I've heard people within the game, scouts, front office people, who can kind of say the same, where you know, I kind of feel bad for that kid. He's having a pretty good season. He's a pretty good player, but you know, those comps and things that were written about during 2020 when we're all locked in our houses sort of haunt him a little bit because the hype was so accentuated versus a normal international player.
Right. You know, and the way you describe it sounds a little bit like what Luis Matos went through last year, where he was kind of in between approaches, kind of in 2021, he was super aggressive and they tried to change that. And then 2022, he might have gotten too passive and got himself some bad counts and did some, you know, and got unfavorable results. And then this year, he kind of found a happy medium and got to the big leagues for a while and then got set back down. And now it's back in the big leagues. But the way you described it kind of sounds like that sort of life cycle. All right, so now let's move on to what we're doing this week. You mentioned that those guys you're seeing up north, that you have a chance to see a bunch of Mets. I think we already talked about this, actually, now that I think about it. I probably be sporadically at games, maybe more toward the weekend, because like I said, ACL and FCL top 20s are rolling along. And as we've been doing this here, I got more pages to proof in my email. So I've got a fair amount of stuff on my plate. Sad day today. Complex league season's ended. Everybody in the DR hopefully stay safe. There's a hurricane bearing down on them. The entire DSL slate ended or got canceled today. So that season is over. I don't know if that affects the playoffs or not.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get here into the FCL and ACL playoff very soon. And then before you know it, it will be Instructional League and Arizona Fall League. It makes my heart a flutter with the thought of being in Arizona for a couple weeks. Jeff, any parting thoughts?
Yeah. You know, I'm going to have a couple of good weeks up here in the Northeast. You know, Portland's going to have some decent series coming in. They get a pretty good club. Going to have Richmond next week in Hartford. They're actually in Portland this week, but instead I'll see Binghamton. And then Worcester actually has Norfolk finally coming in. So I'm finally going to get to see them after like 3 years of games in Worcester. I'll get to see Norfolk. Not that they'll necessarily have a ton of talent, but there might be some guys still, and they have some interesting players. So I'm kind of just interested in getting a look at some teams I actually haven't seen this season, or haven't seen this version. This version of the Binghamton team is very different from the one that I saw back in May, and it's probably more similar to the Brooklyn team that I saw. So could be pretty interesting just in terms of some of the promotions that could be coming up on some of these clubs, and could see some good players. So yeah, I'm excited to mix it up over the next couple of weeks and get my last sort of gasp of games here in the Northeast while the weather's still good. And, you know, those games after Labor Day for a few weeks are beautiful because the crowds die down a little bit and you maybe get to see some players at the end of the season. So not too bad.
Yep. Everybody's back at school. College football season is in, and that takes people's attention away. High school football too.
Yep.
But and the weather finally gets good. I mean, it's been particularly oppressive this summer, as pretty much anyone knows who's been outside in just about any part of the country. But yeah, that's our plans for the next couple of weeks. Hopefully, I get some decent games up in the Northwest, and we'll talk to you. Well, I might not talk to you next week because, like I said, I'll be flying across the country. So Jeff might have a different mammal with him next week. It might be the parrot and the aardvark, or the parrot and the binturong.
Maybe it's the coop bear.
Oh, no. You got to think of a different mammal. I'm the only bear around here. I think we should make JJ a binturong. Look it up. It's a cool animal. That's no slander to JJ. For Jeff in Massachusetts, I'm Josh in North Carolina. Talk to you later.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.